each and every one of us in a mighty way. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're trying to hide from him, he knows. But he still loves us. And I thank him for that. You know, as we begin the message today, I got to ask you this question. Are you ever fooled by anything that appears real and then it turns out not to be? You know, it really happens all the times, especially if we're watching the movies. Sometimes my wife doesn't like to sit and watch movies with me because I start picking out the different things that they've done that, like, one minute they're driving down the street in a car, in a blue car, and the next minute they're in a red car. I pick things out like that, and it's like, yep. But you know what? I have to tell you that the stuff that goes on in the movies is caused by something called a CGI, which is better known as computer-generated imagery. When you go to the movies, you expect them to fool you a little bit. And not everything we see in a movie is meant to fool us. As I was sharing with Reverend Young the other night, I don't know how many of you remember Dick Tracy and the Dick Tracy watch, his communication device, and how right now it's a reality. It's no longer fact. Yes. It's no longer fiction, but it's fact. It is here. But something that I want to bring to your attention, it's okay to be fooled in the movies. But I don't think any of us want CGI when it comes to your spiritual life.
Amen.
You want only what's real. You see, when Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, some people came to worship him with genuine, pure motives. And some people's motives were not, well, shall I say, not authentic.
Yeah.
If we go to 2 Peter 2:18-22, it tells us, it says that those with these motives are not authentic. For it says these words, it says, for when they speak great dwellings of words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves to corruption. Now, that's okay if y'all say, ouch, or amen, or whatever. You see, for by whom a person is overcome, by him who also he is brought into bondage. Verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in themselves and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But, and this is verse 22, it says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Today's message is simply, we jumped across, it's clicking faster than I want it to. Sometimes I forget to take things out and it's jumping, but that's okay. I'm going to stay right here for a minute. Today's sermon is the title message is All I want for Christmas is to be authentic in my worship. And this is a series, a part of a series entitled All I Want for Christmas. Today's scripture is taken from Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Our focal verse for today is taken from verse 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You see, we don't know everything there is to know about the Magi. But we know they didn't come to Jerusalem to look at a star. They came to worship. The word says, He who has been born king of the Jews. You see, Magi were also called wise men. The notable pilgrims from the east who followed a miraculous guiding star to Bethlehem, where they paid homage to the infant Jesus as King of the Jews. Our journey today is about worshiping. Let's start with the desire of an authentic worshiper. You see, the Magi left everything that they had to pursue worship. Worship ought to be the priority of our lives today. And when we place everything else at the center of our lives, it's an insufficient substitute for authentic worship. The Magi said they came to worship him. It was natural for them to come to Jerusalem after all. You see, after all, Jerusalem was the city of the Jewish king. But, Jesus was not born in Jerusalem. He was born about 5 miles south on a back road in a place called Bethlehem, a little insignificant city, except that it wasn't so insignificant because David was born in Bethlehem. So was Joseph. You see, Joseph and Mary had to make their way through her pregnancy to Bethlehem because the Roman emperor had decided to tax those serving under him. We know that well today. You see, but the Magi didn't know all that, so they showed up in Jerusalem expecting to find the newborn king, since Jerusalem was the city of the king. As we look at the Magi, we find that they were astrologers who thought somehow that the stars have significance over everyday life. Even after the long trip, these men essentially said, "We don't care about the star. Just show us the baby that the star is pointing to, because we have come to worship the king." It is said that this word worship to the world means to kiss forward. It's a word that describes a culture in which anyone known to royalty, we are to bow. If royalty extends a hand, you are to kiss it, showing humility, service, and obedience. Now that's what the world says. But you see, that same word worship to a believer means to come into the presence of God, to desire him. Worship means I come to his presence and bow before him to thank him and offer ourselves in willing service, humility,
yes,
and obedience before him. You see, worship is an inanimate desire of spiritually fulfilled believer to come into the presence of God and say, "I love you,
yes,
and I'm here to serve you." Now that's,
yes,
authentic worship. Now I don't want you to get me wrong. It doesn't mean that it's perfect worship, but it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Now the sad part is, just like there's authentic worship, there's inauthentic worshipers. Who are not only deceiving themselves, but they're trying to deceive us. You see, unauthentic worshipers follow after what Herod was doing. You see, Herod learned about the Old Testament prophecy of the birth of a child. He hatched a plot. The word says, "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and asserted from them what time the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" I'm reading from verse 7 and 8.
Yeah.
You see, you can't tell the story of the Magi without bringing Herod into the story. You see, these stories are intricately linked. One is a story of authentic worship, and the other is a story of inauthentic worship. Now just walk with me for a moment. You see, the 12 verses that were read earlier tell of a story of Herod, and it mentions him 8 times. But it also mentions the Magi, and it mentions them 8 times. Just so you know, it's about both of them. Herod and the Magi. As scripture tells us, Herod was a ruthless, bloodthirsty killer with a pathological paranoia. He was an enigma seated upon the throne of the Jews. And he knew instinctively that the baby was more than just a newborn. He was the king. And this threatened Herod's crown. Yes. You see, he knew that this was actually the Son of God. And in his paranoia, Herod planned to kill Jesus while pretending to worship him. One of the great pretenders. Anytime that I think that, and I'm just speaking about me, anytime that I think that I can disobey God and yet continue to pretend that I'm following him, I am truly deceiving myself. If we are only pretending to worship, we are inauthentic.
Yes.
It means that I'm only pretending. It means that I'm only going through the motions. Not a good thing to do.
Amen.
We need to stop deceiving ourselves. There are enough people out there trying to deceive us without us deceiving ourselves and pretending to be what we're not.
Yeah.
Look, you can cover yourself with any kind of disguise that you can think of. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, okay, but I'm only here to tell you the truth. You can put on that fake smile on Sunday morning and tell everybody how good life is. You see, we dress up in our Sunday best and off we go to God's house to outwardly worship, but in our minds, we are really thinking about how bad things are. The rent's due. The refrigerator is empty, and so is the gas tank. We go through the motions, we raise our hands, and we clap, and we do everything that we're supposed to do, but we're just going through the motions. We're here pretending all is well, when it's the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
We can put on a pretty good believable performance, too. A lot of people believe us when we do these things. You know the old saying, how you doing? Well, you know what? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, so we say.
Yes.
What are we truly saying to others? We're trying to hide the truth. But if we stop and think, the reality is that God is looking closely at our hearts and not at our outward appearances. Can I be real with you for a moment? What I found is that anytime I step out of the will of God and do things my way, I'm just displaying that ancient old spirit of Herod and being an unauthentic worshiper. When I put myself in the position of controlling my own footsteps and my own agenda, it's in a clear opposition to what God has said I'm displaying inauthentic worship. If truth be told, authentic worshipers delight in the worship to their master. There ought to be something in us that says, I don't worship because I have to. I worship God because I love to worship God.
Yes.
You see, if we jump down to verse 10, it says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The Magi came into the presence of God with the kind of spirit we need when we come into the presence of God. Let me repeat it. We need to come in with exceeding joy, not with that, well, yeah, you know, I got to clap, so I'll clap. Well, I had to dress up this morning, but you know what? I really don't feel like it. Well, when I get home, that's not the way we're supposed to come to worship the Lord.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean only on Sundays. It means that throughout the day, throughout the week, we are to be exceedingly grateful, exceedingly have great joy as to what the Lord has done in our lives. You see, the Magi brought three expensive gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's only one explanation why they brought these gifts. And verse 11 tells us they fell down and worshiped him. Worship was the purpose of their visit.
Yes.
They came with exceedingly great joy and fell down and worshiped him, the Christ, the King. You see, worship was the purpose of their visit. I just want to tell you as I close the day, I want to leave you with one thought, and that is that we were created to worship the Father, to commune with him.
Yeah.
If you ask me if there's one thing that I regret in my life, is that I never sat down and talked with my earthly father. Oh, I won't go into the details, but a wise woman once told me there are two sides to every story, and your side is not necessarily the true side. Anyway, my earthly father has transitioned, and I hope that one day I will get to see him again.
Oh, yeah.
You see, thing is that I get to speak to my heavenly father constantly. And when I do, I have to be authentic. I can't fake it with him. He already knows.
Amen.
But what I'm trying to say is this, that I am an ambassador for Christ. What I do and say on Sunday must also be the same throughout the week. I got to be the same on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back to Sunday again. I must be the same. Believe it or not, people can spot a pretender from miles away. Are you a pretender? In your worship, it has to be real. It has to be as real as you can be.
Yes.
Don't just go through the motions. Don't just sit there with that gloomy face. You see, when we are going to pass, when we're passing through a valley, and a lot of us pass through many valleys, we have to be real that we're going through a valley. If we don't have food in the refrigerator and they're passing out food at church, don't be ashamed to say, you know what, I need food. if you're having difficulties, don't be ashamed to say, I'm having trouble. We all go through those valleys. And it's okay to be angry about it. It's okay to tell God that you just understand why it's you. Be true to God and be true to yourself. You see, recently I ran across a book entitled Praying the Bible. And it teaches about our prayer life. Are we just repeating the same old prayers over and over and over again? Repeating them so much that we bore ourselves to sleep? Or are we really excited about communicating with our Creator? Matthew 6, 5 through 8 gives God, the Father gives us some instructions on how to be authentic. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Then pray. Do not use vain repetitive as heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. You see, I'm going to close with this statement. When it comes to worship, is your motive pure? You see, you're the only one that can answer that. Is your worship authentic? You see, all I want for Christmas is